Turn with me to the book of Jonah, chapter 2. Jonah, chapter 2. While you're just turning there, as Brother Scott was reading in Romans 5, he read these two verses in the verses that he read, and as I looked at that, I thought, this is how I'm going to start my message tonight. I'm going to start my message with one of those verses for sure. He said in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." We're going to be saved from wrath through the Lord Jesus Christ. As he read those verses a moment ago, I began to think, in the glorification of our blessed God and Father, in the salvation of His people, the Lord Jesus Christ bore the wrath of God for His own. Now, we've heard that. Heard that for years and years and years. Still, as he was reading those verses right there, I began to think, oh, how little, how lightly I think on what he did. And even my fickle thoughts of what he did just pale into nothingness in what he actually did. What he actually suffered. In Jonah chapter 1, actually I'm going to begin with the last verse of the first chapter. And as we pick up where we left off last Sunday, remember Jonah, when asked by the mariners, in verse 11 of chapter 1, they said unto him, "What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us?" For the sea wrath was tempestuous. Ask him, what shall we do to you that we might find some peace? And Jonah said, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, and so shall the sea be calm unto you." No clearer picture of substitution right here. What's it going to take? This sea. See a picture of God's wrath. What's it going to take that the sea might be calm to us? Jonah, as a type of our Lord, said, "Throw me in. I'm going to have to go in. But I'll go in for you. The sea will be calm to you." The Lord Jesus Christ, in that verse we just read, suffered in our stead and took the wrath of God for us. Beginning in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." As our Lord was the one set forth in Jonah as a type of Christ, Jonah being thrown overboard, our Lord Jesus Christ is the one that He pictured. You know that. The Scripture says that the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Just as Jonah had a great fish prepared for him, our Lord, who is pictured in His sufferings. That's what Jonah chapter 2 is all about. The suffering of our Lord in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. What He suffered. The wrath of Almighty God that He bore. As we look into this chapter, this second chapter, let me just go ahead and up front admit it. As I've looked at this, I pray God by His Spirit bless this message to our heart and give us some indication, as only the Spirit of God can, of what He bore. But in the description of what Jonah, and I know, I realize this Jonah, this man Jonah, he's a prophet. But he's a type. Let me ask you this. If only a historical figure is the one we're looking at tonight, we could say, boy, how wonderful that is that the Lord preserved that man. For that, I'm thankful. But let me ask you this. If this Jonah is a type of our blessed Lord in what our Lord bore for us, the wrath of Almighty God, what He delivered us from in the glorifying of His Father, we have something to be thankful for tonight. The Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. This fish, a picture of the grave, the death, swallowed up Jonah, a picture of our blessed Lord and Savior. Providence in due time. That's what Brother Scott was talking about a while ago. In due time, God Almighty brought forth His Son, one born of a virgin, lived perfectly before Almighty God in His law, obeyed for His own, for His people, as their representative. And now, as their substitute, He has set forth as He who died suffering God's wrath. The Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah, as the Lord said in the book of Matthew, this is the sign. This is the only sign. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. No sign shall be given but the sign of the prophet Jonas. This is him right here. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. You know that's a picture of our Lord. Someone say, well, that's just coincidental. No, based on our Lord's word, Jonah is a sign, is a type of Him. That's Jonah. Jonah was 3 days, 3 nights. Then Jonah, chapter 2, verse 1, prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. Before Jonah, I realize in his type, in his actual manhood, let me say it like that, was a rebel against God. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ was made to be. He was perfect. He was without sin. He took upon Himself, imputed, charged to sin, guilt. Marvelous. Marvelous that our Lord, in His death and burial, resurrection, it cried out unto the Lord. Justice is satisfied. Justice is demanded. Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Was it not the Lord Jesus Christ that said of His Father, Lord, You always hear me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and Thou heardest my voice. Jonah, I realize, is brought between hope and despair. But as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, hanging upon the cross, He cried by reason of the judgment of Almighty God that was levied against Him with the guilt of His own charged to Him. He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Can you enter into the depth of what He said? I can't. I'll be honest with you. I cannot. My God, why? I know that Almighty God would not look upon him. Thou art of pure eyes than to behold iniquity. I know that. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Christ actually endured the wrath, indescribable wrath of Almighty God. He endured that which our sin demanded. Justice. I'm a just God. It was the Father that cast him where he was. Verse 3, Jonah says, "For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me." He did absolutely that which was demanded. An eternal counsel dictated. All of thy billows. There was nothing held back. God Almighty must deal with sin found on our Lord. Nothing. Complete judgment. Wave after wave. Thou cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods, they compass me about. Thy billows, thy waves, they passed over me. Then I said, verse 4, I'm cast out of thy sight. The Father, as I said a moment ago, will not look upon sin. I quoted that scripture out of Habakkuk. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Thou cast me out. Yet the Lord said, I will look again toward thy holy temple. My gaze shall be toward the holy place, the holy of holies. Jonah, our Lord type in him, said, I will look unto thee. That's by the grace of God that a man would even say that. When we go through the trials that we go through, I mean, we have sufferings and we have trials and tribulations. A believer looks to the Lord by faith, in hope, in assurance. But what our Lord took and what our Lord endured and what he suffered, here is the obedient Savior. Obedient. It's my beloved Son. That's what God said. Then said, I'm cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. The waters, verse 5, compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth clothed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. The waters, so many with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 26:38, he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. The waters of God's wrath compassed him, even to his soul. And that was his quote before he went to Calvary. That's what he told his disciples. Would you watch for me? Would you watch with me, he said. That's what he said. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. I don't know what he suffered. But he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. The waters wrapped, devoured him. In Psalm 69, look at this. And here again, we read in these Psalms. I tell you, we would do well when you read these Psalms, and often you read of the affliction of David. Recognize that David, speaking of our Lord's suffering. Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there's no standing. I come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I'm weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. Let me ask you something. Who could say those words? Only Christ. Who could restore that which He took not away? Only our Lord. But He started off. He says, the waters come into my soul. Jonah, speaking in verse 5 of chapter 2, says, the waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. The bindings. I know this. Divine love held him there, and divine judgment was cast upon him. The bindings, the weeds, the depth closed me. The deep place of separation. Unfathomable. The depth, the deep. What did he suffer? What did he suffer? All I can say is I can say this. He suffered the wrath of God for his people. And when he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said in verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. I've gone down to the bottoms of the mountains, the extremity, the source of the mountains. Actually, it's the opposite of exaltation. He was made the lowest. The greatest was brought down to the lowest for our sake. Can you imagine? The bars. He says, the earth with her bars was about me forever. The jagged places is what that word means. The piercing objects. I've been brought, he said, to the lowest. And there is no escaping. He must suffer. He must die. If Christ bear not God's wrath for His own, they're hopelessly lost. Eternal wrath. Now we talk about wrath. We talk about a jail. We talk about bread and water. We know nothing of the indescribable wrath of God against sin. He said, the bars were about me, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Psalm 16:10 says, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. He said, you brought me to the place of utter wrath and judgment. Cried out, but you brought my life up from corruption. When my soul, verse 7, fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. I can enter into that a little bit. I know you can too. You know something. As I said a moment ago of trials. You know something. I know something. But you know what Paul said these things are. Brad, he said they're light afflictions. They're light. We talk about suffering. Paul said it's just light afflictions. We don't know anything about suffering. I've never suffered. I've never. Oh, just a little bit. But to think this light affliction, which is but for a moment, when we consider the eternal weight of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ has suffered the wrath of Almighty God. He suffered the wrath for sin in my stead. He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. When my soul fainted, I looked at that word fainted. It means rolled itself up. And actually what the word means is I bowed to that which you bestowed on me, your wrath. I bowed to it. I bowed to it. Didn't resist it. For this end I came. He set his face, the Scripture says, like a flint. Here is Almighty God. God, man. And he knew. He knew what he was going to suffer. Sin charged to him, placed upon him, that he would become legally guilty. I cannot imagine. But I know this. When he was made to be sin, it wasn't pretend. He was made to be sin. And Almighty God judged him. Smote him. Smote him. He smote him. God. He said, when my soul fainted, bowed to, turned within, I remembered there was no struggling against his Father's justice towards sin found on him. He knew. Justice. Justice. This is right. And his obedience, if sin was found on him, and it was, he was right. It was right. He must. God must judge him. He's a just God. Oh, God Almighty, under the wrath of God Almighty's wrath, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Let a man say what he will, what it's going to take in the salvation of a soul. Talk about his fickle will and his fickle this and his little choice and his church membership. And here's Almighty God, the God-man, suffering. Indescribable. I read these words and I'm at a loss to know what they say. I don't know what to say. They that observe, they that keep, that hold to lying vanities, they forsake mercy. But I, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. And I will pay that I have vowed salvations of the Lord. I'll sacrifice. What other sacrifice would atone? What other sacrifice will do? I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Thankful. Thankful. Here is Christ Himself. Thankful. It was finished. Thankful. Made to be sin, slain from the foundation of the world, and here in time came and suffered. I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving, the bleating. Thankful that all of his enemies conquered. Who are his enemies? The enemies of his people. Sin. Satan. Rebellion. All of his enemies. Thankful. I will pay that which I have vowed. Eternal covenant. eternal promise. The people of God charged to Him their surety. Their surety. The surety must make the payment good. The debt must be paid. I will pay. I won't try to pay. Or I'm going to do the best I can to pay. Or I'm going to make the payment good. If you will, I will pay. What's it going to cost? His blood. That's what it's going to cost. I'll pay. Without the shedding of blood. I'll pay. Completely. I'll make an end. This is the bottom line. What's it going to cost? I'll pay it. And He did. I'll pay that which I've vowed. Salvation's of the Lord. I know Jonah could say that. I know he could, and all God's people can. Salvation's of the Lord. Salvation in its conception. Salvation in its execution. Salvation in its satisfaction. Salvation is of the Lord. I want you to notice that Lord is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Jehovah. Triune God. Triune God. Salvation's of the Father. He chose the people. Chose them. Chose them in Christ. Chose them from the foundation of the world. And gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation, secondly, of the Son. He paid. He suffered the wrath of Almighty God. And redeemed them. He bought them back. Paid for them. Paid what they could not pay. Salvation is of the Holy Spirit. The quickening God. The sealing God. The keeping. The revealing. Salvation is of the Lord. And the next time we look at Jonah, Lord willing, I'll start in verse 10. It says, "And the Lord spake to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry ground." 3 days, 3 nights, our Lord was in the grave. And after 3 days and 3 nights, Almighty God raised him from the dead. And he came out victorious. What did he suffer? Well, I can truthfully say he suffered the wrath of God. I know that in the book of Jonah, I know that Jonah, as a man, I am convinced that man was in the belly of that fish 3 days, 3 nights. I don't doubt that one bit. But what is the type? It's a type of our Lord and Savior. Not another sign is going to be given. You want a sign? Here's a sign. As Jonah was in 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights. What did he suffer? I don't know. But I can say this. Whatever he suffered for his people. And he suffered completely. And he suffered to the satisfaction of the justice of Almighty God. And when he said it was finished, I'm telling you, to you that believe, it's finished. No wrath for you. No wrath. No wrath. Let's stand together.